Good day, friends, and welcome to the Music at Love Lecture Series. We are thrilled to see so many of you here at the University of Tennessee at Martin and can't wait to reach many more of you on our podcast. Today, it is our extreme pleasure to welcome Mr. Brian Finley. Mr. Finley graduated from the University of Memphis, in 1997 with a Bachelor's of Music and is in his 19th year of teaching. He completed his master's in education in 2005 from Cumberland University and an education specialist degree in administration from Arkansas State University in 2017. Mr. Finley's wife, Robin, is a librarian and they together have three adorable children, Hannah, Spencer, and Tristan. Mr. Finley loves teaching at Collierville Elementary School and is proud to be a dragon. Dr. Emmerman, I'm told that you have a few more questions for Mr. Burris, so take it away.
Okay, my first question is, could you tell us one of your funniest music teacher stories?
All right, because we're on camera, I can't use any names or so it's not me, it's another guy. So we're at the All West, and they've got the bands divided 9, 10, 11, 12. So we're like the top band. So the All Staters in 9, 10. They're about ready to do like their final run through. So the band director gets up and she says, "Does anybody have anything funny they want to share before, you know, before we go on and do our dress rehearsal, you know, just to take the edge off, just to relax?" And one of the kids said, "Well, let me tell you about the time that our band director climbed up the podium, started flapping his arms, and the whole thing just fell down." But that's not the funniest part. The funniest part is, okay, so I've had, how many different band gigs have I had? I think I've had four different band gigs. So I'm the one that got the podium out of the trash can and brought it back to the band room. So, and it had like a missing leg, but a bent leg. So I know exactly why that guy went and fell. But I'm sure it was better than buying a new podium or whatever it was. So there you go. It's just one of those standing ladder ones. And if you're doing band, you really need some scaffolding or something better than that. So I used the standing ladder one, and I saved it from being trashed.
That's awesome. Okay, second, if you could be any animal, which one would you be and why?
At school, my nickname is the unicorn, and that was given to me by my friends who are the, they're the comedy relief or whatever, but they meant it in a serious way because I try to go out of my way to help everybody, so I get to be a rare mythical gentleman, as it were.
You wanted to be a music teacher?
I will give all the credit to that to my high school band director, who is also a Niasis high school band director, Mr. Keith Breeden. And he came in when I was a freshman at Brewston, and we had never competed, never done anything. So he just inspired me. And by the time I was a senior, even though everyone told me not to go into music ed, stop me if you've heard this one before, "You'll never make any money, you'll never," you know, just all the stuff that they tell you, "Your parents don't want you to be a band director," or whatever. So even against all of that, even my own superintendent back at Brewston, so he was the football coach then he moved up to superintendent, was telling me how I was not going to, I need to go be a doctor or a lawyer or something else. But, you know, the heart wants what the heart wants. So we did, my brother plays euphonium also, and he was a freshman when I was a senior, and I taught him. And when I went off to college, I took all the things I was getting from my studio lessons or whatever and added it to what Mr. Breeden had taught him in school or whatever. And so when I came back, my brother was a sophomore. He was never beat in West Tennessee. He was third chair All-State as a sophomore and first chair as a junior and a senior. And the guy that he kept, he went to Governor School on euphonium with the guy who is now the principal euphonium in the Navy band. So good luck to you, Bryce. So there you go. We got him twice while he was in high school. So there you go. But my brother does not teach, so he doesn't play anymore. I have the horn that the horn I bought with my graduation money my senior year is the horn that I have now. And then I had a professional Wilson horn that I sold to my, bless you, to my All-State euphonium player who's a junior now at Lausanne Collegiate School. So there we go. All right. Anything else?
No, just a round of applause. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, guys, I put together this PowerPoint for us, and it's not a PowerPoint that's something that I want to sit here and read to you. It's not something that I want to just display for you. It's something I want to actually try to interact with you. If I only had 1 hour of your life to tell you all the things that I ever learned and knew about music and believed and fought for, and if I ever had 1 hour, you had 1 hour of my time to fight back and feed back and reflect back with me, what would that look like? I hope it would look like this. Thanks for being here, guys. And thanks to Dr. Emmerman and the UT Martin Music Department for letting me come in. I'd like to say a shout out to my two student teachers, Grant, who came in the fall, and Michael, who is with me now. And rather than dragging Michael, another 5-hour road trip with him, who I will say that Michael does the youth. He has one church in Gibson County. He's the youth. Yeah, there we go. So I know tomorrow night he'll be doing the trek. So I didn't want him doing the trek two nights in a row. So I gave him the option, and the option was pretty much, you're staying here for the last two classes with the sub. Don't say a word. That's on the sub. I want you to see how it works when I'm not here and you're not here or anything. And he's been with me since the snow stopped. So it was day two today. So there we go. But I've known Michael since I taught him when he was in middle school and in high school in band and on the trumpet. And I got to teach this guy right here on sax and in band and all that good stuff. So some of the things that you're hearing maybe for the first time in your life or maybe for the 19th time, there's no way you've heard it as many times as Anais has heard it. Right, Mr. Haney?
Absolutely.
All right, my mentor teachers were Keith Breeden at McKenzie High School now, but he was at Brewston for the first 9 years of his career. He finishes his 30-year wrap-up next December. He will have enough days to walk out that door any day he wants to walk out that door. The choice is his. So I'm real proud of that. My other mentor teachers have all retired or passed away. Barry Lumpkin, Ron Turner, and Charles Schultz. If you don't know Barry Lumpkin, he was at Harding Academy in Memphis for many, many years. He is a proponent of you put every kid in your band or choir or whatever it is on tapes, and those kids play those tapes every night. And once they've passed a certain amount of tapes, then they don't ever have to play tapes again. So his middle school bands were phenomenal because they had no choice. And his high school bands were phenomenal. They had no choice. They were just going to play. They were going to be so accurate. I mean, it was unbelievable. And pitch, oh my goodness, that man's got the best ears I've ever seen. Ron Turner, he taught at Ridgeway when I was there with him, 7 through 12 band. Charles Schultz was my private teacher for euphonium. And Dr. Cindy McKay was my band director, and he just passed away. Love you, Doc. All right, my background in education, and I pretty much covered that. I was valedictorian, my wife was salutatorian, in our class of two at Brewston. We did have a little bit more than two, but not much more. Undergraduate degree from Memphis. My highlights there were being in wind ensemble and getting to solo with the orchestra. That was a competition one. And getting to solo with the wind ensemble, that was a Dr. McKay invitation only kind of thing. So that was nice. I got my master's degree online, and I got my EDS degree online. And I will say that the maximize your opportunities thing, the reason why I got my EDS is because it's a $6,000 pay raise per year forever, until I retire. So, but I also have the opportunity now to go into administration. So it just opens up some more doors. So I recommend that you stay persistent. If you want a doctorate, then stay in school and do your doctorate. If you want to go start teaching and make money, then go online and get your doctorate. If you want a doctorate that bad, go get it. Well, I just talked myself into getting that EDD. So there we go. Keep your options open, maximize your opportunities. All right, this is the part where you get to interact in this. Shout out if you have any questions or anything. That's the easy part. Oh, we're gonna get, Cheyenne?
Yes. What is your opinion on the difference between going to get your master's immediately after you graduate your bachelor's or going to teach, which would you?
I'd do whichever one I wanted to do. I've seen what my least favorite thing is where it's not the student's choice, where you're an adult and you're in a studio, I won't name names again, but where they say, I won't take you as a master's student until you've done 2 years of teaching or whatever. So then I'll be like, well, maybe you don't want me. Because what I've seen that happen is you go and you start teaching, like I'd go and start teaching, and then 2 years in, I try to get that gig and my chops aren't what they were 2 years ago. It's hard to keep your chops up and have a, even if you're a band director, it's hard to keep your chops up good enough to play. We did a tribute concert 2 or 3 years back, right? For like a fundraiser concert. And we had a bunch of alums come in from Mr. Bree and Nett McKenzie. And I played Fly the Bumblebee and Rimsky-Korsakov Trombone Concerto. Well, I had to work those back up. So it's not something that you can just sit there and, you know, like if you need to do a real audition, you're gonna have to spend that much time. Well, you're working a full-time job and you're trying to get your chops back. It's really hard to do. And I've sat there on that, not this particular, but on a stool with my euphonium and I'll play along with the middle school kids. But you can't sit there and play along. I've never seen anybody play along with your high school kids. I mean, your high school kids, you know, on whichever instrument they are, you know, unless it's your instrument, they're gonna be out playing you. They better be, otherwise you're not doing your job to the nth degree. So I say, Cheyenne, do whatever your heart leads you. Now, I did start my master's. I went to George Mason, which is outside of Fairfax, which is where our Virginia connection comes in, and with Roger Barron, who was the euphonium soloist in the Navy. And I called him crying the end of that semester, and like, I'm not coming back. I'm not doing this. You know, you have crushed my soul. So, you know, you're gonna find teachers that, you know, inspire some people and teachers that drive other people out of their studio. And, you know, he drove me out of his studio, you know, and the fact that it costs $1 billion to live in DC or anywhere near DC. So, I did start my master's at George Mason. I substitute taught until that Christmas. So that was a Christmas I started, and then I ended in the summer. Worked at Walmart and student taught that next semester, and went to, not student taught, but substitute taught. And that Christmas, when our year lease at our apartment was up, we went to Kentucky, and I studied with Skip Gray. And I stayed with him that semester, and then the job came open at Halls so we could teach together. So me and my wife taught together. She's a librarian now, but she's always been a band director or music teacher up till this year. And like I said, keep your options open. She's had that librarian degree for the last 7 or 8 years, something like that. So any other awesome questions? Thank you. Anais? Well, I mean, if you're gonna play or, you know, that kind of thing, you wanna be there to play. But if you're just doing it like I did it to get a pay raise, my master's was a $5,000 a year pay raise. And then there's a plus 45 that between all my George Mason hours and Kentucky hours and then starting my EDS, I could get the plus 45 last year, which was a $5,000 raise. So, I mean, and that was not $16,000 because the $6,000 included the $5,000. So it's more like $11,000. So there will be no cash door prizes tonight. So there we go. All right, next slide. My wife, we've been married 22 years. We got married after our sophomore year of college. So we lived married student housing at Memphis for our last 2 years of school. We had every class together except private lessons. And it was fantastic, phenomenal. And yes, we did occasionally take the one of us goes to class in geography. Yes, for that guy who makes you go to sleep and it's 8 o'clock in the morning and we may have taken turns and I may have gone every time. So there you go. we have three children. Hannah is in 10th grade. She plays the clarinet. She's made Wild West every year, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th grade. She does not practice. She's a dancer. I love her dearly. She has that room over your garage kind of thing. It has a bathroom, and you never see her. And she sleeps the day away and stays up until 3 or 4 in the morning. And as long as she keeps making straight A's and taking AP Euro that I couldn't even do anything with, then more power to you, Hannah Grace. Spencer's my middle schooler. He's a swimmer. He holds a tuba. Last year, I went over to Carville Middle School because there was a tragedy. And here's the call I got. Mr. Finley, there's a position at Carville Middle School you might be interested in. And it was the human resources director of Carville Schools. And we don't have that many people in Carville Schools. So, you know, it's only two middle schools, a high school, and right now five elementaries. So it's a pretty small school district. So when he calls, you answer and you go. So I went and I said, okay, this is what I can do to get us through this year, and it'll be a job interview for me for an entire semester, and it'll be a job interview for you. So it's a really win-win thing. I keep my tenure. I had a letter that said I revert back to Carville Elementary School. And I had no idea that the reason why there was an opening, I thought it was because of a medical thing. It was not because of a medical thing. Yes, that's right. It was because the guy embezzled $133,000. And, that's the one on the news. I won't finish the story because the end of the story is super tragic. But my son was in his band. My son had not paid his band fee till I got there at Christmas. And I'm so glad he had not paid his band fee, because it did not get spent at Tunica. So there we go. All right, and then I have my little guy who goes to school with me now. He's in fourth grade, Tristan. He's elementary school, and he is a runner. So my kids will probably never be music majors like you guys or like me, and that's okay. The heart wants what the heart wants, and that's what really matters. So if this is for you, you already know that, and there's nothing I can say to stop you. We go to church at Brunswick Baptist Church. And I love running. I did 9 miles yesterday. I did 18 on Thursday. I did 5 on Saturday and did the race with Tristan. Tristan won his age group. He'll turn 10, so he's in the birth to 9 years category, which is quite interesting. Just run, toddler, run. It's only 3K. It's not even 2 miles. All right, so we race again on Sunday. Yes, he beat me. Yes, he beat me. But he will not be able to sustain the distances. Go 3K, 5K, 8K, 10K, so 6.2 at the end. 6.2 miles, and he will not beat me 6.2 miles. I can run all day. I'm running the Arkansas with my brother. I'm running the Little Rock Marathon on March the 4th, the Sunday. And with my brother and Christopher, who's a basketball coach at Brewston still. He has been teaching just as long as me. He will retire before me. He owns a ton of real estate in Brewston. So there you go. If anyone wants to move to Brewston, my brother can hook you up. All right, and I love running. This will be my 6th marathon. I'm gonna do all the states. So this is a landmark marathon for me. After this, I only have 50 more. So that's all states and all continents. Then we're gonna go down to, from, if this is my 6th, so I only have 50 left. I hurt my back after my last marathon. It's been a year and a half since I got to run one. So I'm really hoping that this is the best I've trained. I mean, I realize that weight is an issue, but I'm working on it. Trust me. All right. Now, it would have been better if they'd have had my French toast bagel. So I had to get the chocolate chip bagel with the egg, bacon, cheese. Oh, that's good stuff. All right, my recommendations as far as my personal life are: be thankful, and I am so thankful. I am so lucky. I am so blessed. It's unbelievable. Any questions on that end? Chase, you thinking anything, man? No. All right. There we go. All right, band director. I have 19 years teaching experience. 9.5 are band, and now 9.5 are elementary music. So I am just split right down the middle between the two. My wife and I taught at Halls our first 4 years of STEAM teaching. It was fantastic. We always made finals at Division One. We tied for second 1 year. We got second 1 year. And the best year we had, and I did all the music and she did all the drill, it was fantastic. The best year we had, we got fifth. I'm like, this is not possible. So there we go. I was at Henry County for 1 year, and this is what I have to say about that is, if things had worked out at Henry County the same way that they worked out at Halls, I never planned to leave Henry County, ever. I never did. But you can't do the same things at one gig that you do at another. Maybe you can over time, but you can't just instantly install magic and transform everybody into, we love you just as much as so-and-so. So there you go. So I taught after Henry County. I had trouble finding any gig. So I went to that place that no one wants to go, and that's Memphis City Schools, and I did 4 years there. Before it became a 4 years of band there, and I continued on in elementary music. So in Memphis City Schools, I only worked two bands. I had Kingsbury Band for 3 years, and then I had Overton. You would think, and Robin was with me at Overton. We were the band directors at Overton. You would think that karma, and I had learned my lesson, but no, up there should be an Overton 1 year right there, and then, but anyway, so you can't do everything you want to do instantly, so I'm still learning, so it was not a good situation at Overton or Henry County for me, but maybe if you're there, it'll be fantastic for you, so to each his own. And I did Cardinal Middle School interim last spring, and I decided that I would rather have the opportunity to be a principal and stay in elementary school, because I like dealing with children who are not doing things maliciously, intentionally. You know, if they're throwing water in the bathroom, it's because it's fun. You know, they're not high schoolers out there, you know, taking the wheels off your car or slashing your tires. So there we go. That's never happened, thankfully. All right, so my recommendations for that, as far as the band thing go, is focus on individual people and build relationships. That is the most important thing, because no matter where you are, you're gonna have a boss, you're gonna have people that you want working on your side, you're gonna, you know, I'm still working on that. Be ready for surprises, and every job has challenges. There's no such thing as a perfect job. I have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gig, but every day I'm out there in the rain, in the snow, in the ice, or whatever, opening car doors for children who can open their own car doors. So there you go. So, and we do that in the morning and we do that in the afternoon, but it's a safety thing. So you have to, safety first and second, but never third. All right, any questions about my band times, my 9.5 band times, or questions you might have about going into band or anything like that? Shiny?
What is this?
You're the bar.
In your opinion, what is the best way to run a rehearsal as far as rehearsing a piece? So say you're in a situation, a piece, a couple months, and you've got a couple more months to get it ready for concert. At this point, what are you doing in your rehearsal to prepare your band for the concert?
I like to look at it from the individual student on out. So if I have all that time, then I just want to see, you know, just have your regular band rehearsal, and I just want to see section leaders after school for 30 minutes, and then get the section leader playing it the way you want it played, and just have that passed on. You know, the way that I like to say for band stuff, and maybe you can use this for choir in some way, is like I would say it at Carver Middle School, I would say hang out with your horn out. So you can come in every morning, and I was there every morning at 7:15 for an 8 o'clock school. So every morning I was there, opened the band room. The first day I was there, there were like zero children. So, you know, by the end of the year, we had about 16 or 17, 18, you know, but that's nowhere near what it needs to be for that kind of program. So, and then after school, he had only stayed, the previous director had only stayed 1 day a week, and it was Mondays, which is just the worst. Don't do that to children, okay? But I wanted to be consistent and not rock the boat, not change too much. So, like, Mondays will be our day. So, first Monday, zero children. Second Monday, zero children. Third Monday, two. One child and their parent playing the tenor sax. I'm like, bring it on. Bring it on. Morgan, bring your dad. Bring your dad. It's fantastic. I'm sorry. Not names. It may not have been Morgan. It may have been Garrett. There you go. Never know. But it was not Garrett Morgan. That's right. The traffic light dude. There we go. All right. All right. Cheyenne, I would work at it from the individual person and go out from there. And the deal is, I love Smart Music, and I ordered all my Carville Middle School band music was on Smart Music, so that way, and we had the kids had iPads, and we had the subscriptions. When did we get the subscriptions? January. When did we get the iPads? January. When did they put the app on? April 15th, tax day. When is Concert Festival? That's right, March. So I taught them with tools I thought I was going to have and then did not have. So there we go. All right, what's my thought? My thought is, you had a question. Don't go. If you see a boot and there's something in the boot, do not go. Do not go into that situation. I mean, is there one thing in particular about elementary?
I guess.
If you had asked, when I was sitting in that chair right there, I would say, here's what elementary is for. Elementary is for your old burnout band directors who just can't hang anymore, and that's what I would say, and now. I'm like, I love this. I wish I had started with this and then maybe moved into band and then moved back to this or whatever. But I am 20 billion times better an elementary music teacher than I am a band director. And it's mainly because those kids you can love. Even with the middle schoolers that I had last semester, you can love them all you want, but they're still just walking right out that door at 3 o'clock or whatever. But these little guys, I mean, they'll stalk you at Kroger. So it's Mr. Finley! It's like literally, I mean, I get to be the unicorn for the kids and the adults. So, you know, it's really cool. I mean, I just love it. And I think it's great that you guys are gonna have that experience as your student teaching so you can decide what you want. Now, Grant wants to do middle school and that's where he is. But he has the tools that he needs if he decides, hey, these kids aren't as cool as I thought they were. I can go back and do I can do elementary. And with Carnival, you do have a bunch of gigs. So for those of you looking for gigs, there is a new school opening up that will be replacing Schilling Farms Middle School. They'll call it Schilling Farms Elementary School. And the starting pay in Carnival is, you can look that one up. 43 G's right there. Boom. That's a bachelor's. There we go. All right. So every job has challenges. No, I don't like doing car rider, but I'm going to do it. And I'm going to smile when I do it. I'm going to greet those kids because it's not the kid's fault that somebody came up with the world's worst car rider line where you can only get 6 kids out at a time. You know, so there we go. All right. Moving on. I focus on the individual musician. Here are the things that, there are 21 things. I'm going to read all 21, and I don't really read PowerPoints, but I'm going to read this one. And that's, I'm going to read them 5 at a time. And then 6 on the last one. And if you want to fight with me, then let's fight. Let's see what you got, because I changed my list today, and I'm willing to change it tonight. I'll change it tomorrow. I'll change it whenever I need to. This is how I teach. Number 1, always crescendo or decrescendo. Never stay the same. With percussionists. Hi, Logan. I tell them, I don't want 2 stick drops in a row that are from the same height. So no 2 mallet drops, no 2 stick drops, no nothing. Okay, you want to play loud? Anais, I'm going to do the train. All right. So there's a train right there in your face, and it just keeps on going and going and going. At some point, you can't hear that train anymore. You just totally tuned it out. So you got to draw the audience in, and then you got to let them go back. You're always going somewhere. You are the ocean. You are all you. The waves, the tide never stops. If the tide stopped, the world would fall. Number 2, Gently push more air, and these are all wind instrument things. I got an elementary music one in a minute. Gently push more air to change from one note to the next. Keep constant pressure, especially on dynamic changes, and make them smooth, not jerky. If you have not had the experience of teaching anyone yet, you've got to teach somebody. Because the first thing they do is they want to be Whitney Houston, or they want to be Wynton Marsalis. And the first thing they're going to do is they're going to take one note, and they're going to mushroom cloud it. They're going to go, and they'll look at you so proud, and you're like, that was painful. So there we go. So sorry for that. All right, number three. Mark your breathing spots with slashes and circle the peaks of your phrases. I print out giant 19 by 13 posters for my All West kids, and I have blue Sharpie that I go through, and my own child too, blue Sharpie that I go through and mark all their breathing spots. Now, I give them a blank one, and they got mine. So mine's a skeleton, and they can use that if they want to, but I am so all about that breath. Number four. Focus on finding at least three different dynamic areas, soft, medium, and loud. Also, find one moment to be and one moment to be. Make all attacks appropriate to the style of the piece. Questions? Comments? Arguments? Well, come on, you got to argue with me. You got to fight back. It's not fun if you don't fight back. Number six. Here we go. Here's a Carolina Crown one right here. Number six. To cut off a note, simply breathe in. To stop doing one thing, just start doing something else. Number seven. There are two main types of songs, pirate songs and love songs. Number eight. Divide the music into small sentences, phrases. Number nine. A sudden or subito change in dynamics is awesome. Also, with number nine is forte piano crescendos are awesome. Right, Anais? Oh, yes. I don't care who wrote Mackenzie's music, okay, because Anais had to put up with me for all those years of band camp. All right, so I don't care who wrote it. So there weren't enough forte pianos in there. There were never enough. Maybe there were two. By the time we were done with it, there were at least 16. So there we go. All right, number 10, everyone makes mistakes and misses notes. Focus on the present and do not worry about the past or the future. Any questions about the present? Any arguments about the present? Oh, pardon?
There are presents?
Well, the door prizes went out with my other raise, so there we go. Number 11, play all notes full value, which is legato or tenuto or however you want to say that, unless indicated otherwise. And I don't want rooftop and marcato. I need to change that. Marcato and rooftop should be the same exact thing. So, but that's okay. Some people don't call them the same thing, but to me, they're exactly the same. And then so staccato, marcato, or restato. So if it's a rest, then we're not going to be playing at all. And I firmly believe that you always cut off on the $1 million of the beat. So in high school, when I'm teaching high school, you're either going to cut off on the on beat 2, 3, 4, or 1 of the next bar, unless it's the shortest note you can play. So the shortest note you can play is still long. Oh, wait. We'll get to that in a second. The faster you play, make everything look easy. Feel free to, where am I? I am here. 12, let the moving parts be heard. My favorite thing in these, all of these David Ryan All West things is when you get to the 16th notes and it starts sounding like, okay, you really have to play those and push through them. And a 16th note set of runs is almost always going to be a crescendo. I don't care if it's ascending or descending. It's almost always going to be a crescendo in those so that you can get those going. Number 13, feel free to add your own dramatic slowdown at the end of the piece or at appropriate points. Number 14, make everything look easy. You are an artiste. Not to be confused with a Subway sandwich artiste. Number 15, the faster you play, the more you have to relax and lighten up, especially on your articulation. The trombone and euphonium music this year, the Blazevich. The end of the Rocher. The end of that one is slow, I mean it's not slow, but legato smooth. and as smooth as a trombonist can get there. So I took the end of the Blazevich, which the Blazevich was written pesante. We got our bonus music ed question. Hit me. Who are you? Pesante?
Ebony.
Ebony? Fantastic. Ebony, where'd you go to school?
I went to Covington High School.
Oh, very nice, very nice. I got to teach at Covington. I did the drum line when my wife was teaching at CIAA, and she was band director there for 3 years, and right before we went to Overton, and I got to work with Dr. Cunningham, Alan Cunningham, when he was there, and I love Doc, so he's really cool. All right, Ebony Pesante. I'm going to remind everyone in the room and on camera, Ebony raised her hand. So, I'm... Nope, that's all right. Chase!
Passionately.
No.
Okay.
Who are you, sir?
Isaac.
Isaac, what do you do around here?
Play trombone.
You have a Charger band, like a Covington Charger one, or a different Charger one?
Same.
Very cool, very cool. All right, so I teched the drum line, and that's not my bag. But I teched the drum line for Alan because he didn't have anybody else to do it. So there we go, at Covington. All right, Isaac, hit me. Okay, I like pounding is my word for that. So that one is do 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 do, and that Supertone piano's not there, but it was on my kids playing. So anyway, the end lick on that is straight 16ths, goes up to high B flat, and all these high school kids just freaking out. So do 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 do. Okay, so I really can't sing, which is ironic that I teach elementary music. But I've got a great falsetto. Just kidding. All right, so I taught my players to play the end of the Blazevich, which is pounding, heavy. So I taught them to play it like the end of the Rochu. So that way it went relaxed and lightened up and smoother. Because nobody can sit there on a brass instrument and just go da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So relax, lighten up, and make it sound like something good. And I'll bet there's not five kids that actually nailed that high B flat, which is just hilarious. So why are you asking an excerpt that's just, you know, the kid's gonna come out of there going, I didn't hit the B flat. Like, well, what about the rest of it? Was there something good in there? Was, you know, it's like, no, I didn't hit the B flat. All right, number 16, match pitch with a tuner. Make pitch charts with the most common notes in your performance piece and test with a friend. Let's go key of B flat. Key of B flat, three most common notes. Anais. I'll give you that, sure. B flat, D, and F. B flat, F, and something. So anything tonic, dominant, and something else. That's great. Probably not the seventh. So there we go. Number 17, use fast, warm air, even in slow passages. I love teaching middle school and high school kids this. You know, okay, guys, all right, this is going to be the slow part. It's going to be third. Okay. No, 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 no. You need to be fast. And then I do the even though it's slow, even though it's whatever it is, I do the airplane. Which plane is flying faster? The one that's flying 1 mile above the earth or one that's flying 4 miles above the earth? Well, they're both planes. They're both flying the same speed. So whether you're playing soft or loud or fast or slow, I need that plane to be flying. So get that air moving. I hope that one was on camera. 18, hold pitch steady regardless of dynamics. Woodwinds, reeds, instruments, getting louder. Woo! Brass players getting louder. Whee! Pitch going up, pitch going down. It's like a giant just tornado of just. So you have to work that, okay? You've got to roll the flute. It's still a mystery. Don't tell me. Do not tell me. It's still a mystery to me which way to roll. I always just look to the section leader and I say, make sure you're rolling there on those. There we go. All right. And that's my other Cardinal Middle School story. And I had a parent at the elementary school this year, and they said, you know, why didn't you stay over there or whatever? You know, I'm like, no, I'm much happier here. She's like, oh, I don't know how you know all those instruments. I'm like, I play the baritone. The first thing I did was I put every fingering chart on my 19 by 13 poster maker. Boom, every finger chart up on the wall. So when the kids with their beautiful iPads came in, they said, what's this note? And I'm like, go right over there, take a picture of the fingering chart. Not even Google a fingering chart. You just have to take a picture of it. So you just go take a picture of it, and you come back down. And that stops the how do you finger an F sharp questions about a billion, trillion, million times. So you want to use this technology to your advantage because you got better things to do than tell them that F sharp is the one they played yesterday correctly. You just play that way. All right. Number 19, the shortest note in the world is still long. So we're going to do the cutoff thing. All right, so I breathe my releases. So if I'm going to do a quarter note, it goes off on two. A half note off on three. Dotted half off on four, and a whole note off on five. Anything else is just some kind of derivative of math of that. So a quarter note is going to be to for high brasses or do for low brasses. I keep that O sound going all the way through. Every private lesson I go start, I get go to my kitchen sink and I gotta say, look kid, I need you breathing. This is you breathing. Turn on my sink, wasting water. It's good. This is you articulating. Toe, 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 toe. Look at the water. The water has not stopped yet. The water, you go back, you sit down with the kid and it's still 80% note. Toe, 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 toe. There you go. Okay. But if you know the problems that you're going to have, you know how to fix them. So off on two, so quarter note, toe, off on three, toe, and all you're doing is breathing to release. Now, Grant and I had a nice little conversation about this. You're gonna do that with choir. And he's like, you're not gonna do that with choir because you could hear it, because it'd be audible. So I'll sit there and fight. I want to run a choir at some point and teach them to breathe the releases and see if I can actually hear it and if it gets on my nerves. Because if you can't hear it, and where's my Patriots? Here's my New England Patriots. CBS has had like 8 of the Patriots games. When they go back to a live camera feed, they have a little electronic noise, like zzz, like a little kind of cricket kind of noise when you go back to a live thing. And nobody has really noticed it, but my Patriots podcast people are 98.5 Boston Radio has been on it the last 2 weeks. And they're like, once you hear this sound, you will never forget the sound. So there we go. All right, shortest note, still long, so it's toe, and it rings, and it just rings. Until you can decide that your band or choir or whatever, this is our shortest possible note, then you can't have any other possible notes going on, because then you're just, if you don't start the note, release the note at the same time, then there's no hope for you to be together. Sizzles, long tones, and inhale as much air as you can to improve tone quality. And I love smart music games and a stopwatch and hyperspeed playing. Play that all-west as fast as you can just to see if you can actually cut it in half. If you can cut the all-west in half, I'll bet you can play a Limited Daylights out of that thing. Smart music sight reading. Smart music has 10 levels of sight reading that are already pre-programmed in there. There are about, 40 different exercises per level. I charge also $40 an hour for private lessons. So I tell my kids when they come in, this lesson and $40 are yours. You keep it in your pocket. All you got to do is sight read to level 10, one, starting on level 5 if you're high schooler. So you just do one per level and make it 80 or above. I also give a musicality bonus of 10 points for phrasing. And I wouldn't say for style, but mainly for phrasing. And my dynamics for sight reading is you crescendo one measure, decrescendo the next, and just rinse, wash, repeat. So unless you can really, really, really see phrases. I think, Anais, I think you can see phrases, sir. All right, high score for each section. And if they make it all the way through, level 5, level 6, level 7, level 8, level 9, level 10, they get the $40. Never had a kid do it. Have had All-State kids for years now, and new. And what's killer to me is the smart music doesn't change. You know, it's like if you look up A24, it's still A24, today, tomorrow, forever. So I figure at one point in my life, I will have that kid that literally goes through all of them and just says, I will not leave this page until these 40 exercises are there. Who knows? High score for each section of the All West.
The All Wests are on Smart Music, and if they're not, you just put them into Finale, and you can scan into Finale. I'm sure some of y'all are better than that than I am. And you can work on the sections. When they do 11th and 12th grade, they tell you which sections they're going to ask, so you can wait till those last two or three weeks and just put in those little sections right there. Somewhere in West Tennessee, somebody has all of them already put into Finale. So I like to record this and say that if somebody is actually using those for their band and not letting the rest of us have them, then I think that counts as an unfair advantage. So that may be aimed at you with the ladder that's broken. So there we go. It all comes back. And high score for each section of the All West and high score for the All West as a whole. All right, fight with me. Who are you, sir?
Matt,
what do you do around here?
The trumpet.
Cool. Where'd you go to school?
Covington as well.
Ah, very cool.
I would probably argue with the whole taking in a lot of air in order to keep your tongue, like keeping a good tongue. Like, I feel like breathing too much air.
Oh, yeah. Like that's the only time I would do that is when we're sitting there at band camp and I've got a kid that hasn't ever taken in a real breath. I don't do that all the time. When I breathe, I just breathe and go. Now, I went to Brevard, and I had a great conductor there, and he said, if you got a four-bar rest, take three counts or four counts at the end to do that. But yeah, inhale as much air as you can. It's just for expanding your lungs. And I only do it more than once or twice a day. Otherwise, you get that whole bruised lung feeling. So, yes. So that's just an exercise. It is not every day I want you to do the, you know, there you go. Can you start to breathe? Love it. Who are you?
My name is Rebecca.
Rebecca. Where'd you go to school?
To White House High School.
Very cool.
In Middle Tennessee.
Very cool.
I was just going to add on to the inhaling to cut off. And you said that someone mentioned that you can't do that with choir. Because the breath would be audible. But the thing is about a good breath, a breath that
I agree with that.
Inaudible.
I agree with that.
Okay. So, who said that?
Mr. Casey.
Okay. I like
Schilling Farms Middle School.
Yeah. I would assume with younger singers that would definitely happen.
I think it would happen with younger instrumentalists, and I would probably actually encourage it in middle school band for you, not at concert festival, but you know, when you start in sixth grade, I'd like to be able to hear you. I'd like to know that you're alive still. So I'm good with that. I'm good with that. All right, these are great points. Dr. A.
I really love so many. Actually, I love all of these, and I'm curious how many of these you feel are applicable to elementary.
We can do that.
Music and choir. Oh, you're doing okay. Sorry. Hey.
All right, applying the same principles to singing or elementary or however you want to say that, okay? So I left the make everything look easy, you're an artist on there, so that's cool. The pirate songs and love songs, I wouldn't say that I teach that every single day, but I teach kids to ask 10 questions about every song that they hear, and it's how does the music make you feel? How would you move to this music? What would you change about this music? So I have a whole list of that I didn't put on the PowerPoint and that I'm not, I don't know if I could do all 10, but I can get pretty close. I left the divide the music into small sentences and phrases. I don't necessarily teach with elementary. What I teach them for phrasing is, I want you to aim for this word, so I'll circle the word. I'm not teaching third graders how to read music. They're going to read music when they play recorder. Here's the problem with recorder. Recorder changes pitch when you change dynamics. So do not teach your children to play the recorder with dynamics, because you will just destroy the pitch center. Also, speaking of destroying the pitch center, do not take your state finalist band and tune them down to the tuba when it is about 12 degrees outside. So when the judge is screaming, I can't find the tonality, and I'm on the sideline going, bring it home! Woodwinds, brass, the whole band was down here. So there we go. Yeah. So there's another awkward story on myself. There we go. Did you have Mr. Burrison?
We did.
All right. I love Tony.
I love Tony. And he told me the trick to percussion is to leave the blankets and stuff covering them up so that they're not shrinking down and pitch going up, whereas the rest of the band is just falling away. I'm like, that's fantastic. Now, could somebody tell me not to tune to the tuba when it's 2 degrees outdoors? And always, Division I, Division II is always finals in the dark, and it's really cold. So, not always, but it did snow on my brother. My brother, when he was in 10th grade, he had like 19 solos in that field show, and Shenandoah was his first solo, and I think he hit about 2 notes out of about 30, because it was snowing and freezing, and he couldn't feel his lips. But he got it together by the end, so there we go. And that was the first time Brewston ever made finals at Division I. And I wasn't on the field, but I was on the sideline doing this the whole show. And it wasn't just to keep warm. So there we go. I get, Mr. Reed makes fun of me for that to this day. So there we go. So phrases, find the most important note or the most important word or whatever, and just have them aim for that word and crescendo up and crescendo down. That's what I did with elementary. Number 4, stand tall with relaxed shoulders and feet open to shoulder width. Imagine the strings pulling your head high, but stay relaxed. Good luck with that one with elementary school children as they are doing everything under the sun. Yes. Open your mouth wide and tall. The song's inside. Use your diaphragm to move the air. Breathe from your belly button, not your shoulders, which is fantastic for all of us, wind instruments and vocalists. Imagine there is a tire around your waist and you're filling it with air. That is what Grant added to that one, the tire with the air. Very nice. Number 6, hold pitch steady. Go for a pure sound. Do not have a shaky, overdone sound. I cannot take it when I get Whitney Houston Jr. in my music room. And I'm just like, sweetie, I just love what you're doing there. Let's try it this way. So I really, 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 really want them to go for a pure sound. In elementary, they can add all the vibrato and be scared out of their mind later on in middle school and high school. I want them to feel welcomed and loved in my room, not scared to death. And not to do that thing where you sing louder than everybody else. We still have Naira, sorry girl. We still have Naira on tape doing The Lion King by herself, but she had about 100 friends with her, but yeah, there you go. So that shaky, overdone sound leads to becoming a soloist and you didn't even know it. And then your music teacher's just sitting there going, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do? Number 7, to attack and release together, breathe in together. And I put silently on this one, much happier, there we go. Number 8, everyone makes mistakes, stay in the present. Number 9, the shortest note possible is still long. Now, we can argue about the jazz thing. I like the tongue release, I like the that. You know, for the jazz. I think that's a totally different beast, but, you know, I may have been taught to backwards swing, so, yeah, we don't need to talk about that one either. Number 10, yes, do-da-do-da-do-da-da-di-da-di-da, like, oh, no, oh, tragedy. The faster the music gets, the more you have to relax and make the sound. Project forward, aim at a place in the back of the performance hall, and project toward it. Stagger breathe with partner or partners, and I'm really big on that in band. I'm like, okay,
you two are partners, who's older, and you are, well, you get to breathe wherever you want, and I just have to breathe back to you. I prefer you to breathe about every other bar, every 8 counts or so, that way my ice doesn't die. So.
Still looking out for you, dude. There we go. All right, so find a way that you can do in parts or sections or whatever. There are some instruments I believe could never be too loud and overpowering. That would be low brass like tuba euphonium. Not necessarily trombone though. If you have one of those trombone players, make sure you aim them away from the audience. So there we go. All right, soloists should breathe at the end of each phrase. So even in a band piece, you don't wanna sit there and try to teach your soloist how to stagger breathe. No, a solo is a totally different thing. Number 12, never breathe in the middle of a word. Word from Grant. Number 13, the best way to express the music is with your eyes, also Grant. And number 14, me. Elementary students should be encouraged to move to the choreography of their songs. If it's this little light of mine, then it needs to be this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. You got to get them moving. I had the year of the Shelby County Schools consolidated into one giant thing. They ate Memphis City Schools up. I had been at my school for 5 years. I was so proud because I just, like, I had moved around so much, and I thought I'd be one of those people that, you know, I found one gig and I, you know, 30 years. I mean, you asked me who the greater, is it Don Juan, who spends his whole life and spends a different night and with a different woman every night or whatever, or is it the person that finds one person and stay with them for the rest of their life? And I'll tell you every time, it's the person that finds one person and stays with them through thick and thin, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer. That's the one that I aspire to be. So it's hard for me to sit here and tell you. I've been teaching 19 years. I've had, you know, whatever it is, 10 different schools or whatever. But I had Brownsville Road for 5 years, and then they said, we're going to consolidate and cut 23 music teaching positions. So they could have cut me and my wife. But luckily, she got one of those gigs where she was full-time, and then she became itinerant. She got my school as her fifth day school. So I had a foot in the door when we deconsolidated and became the municipalities. So one of the main reasons why I got my gig is because my wife was there. During that year where I had to leave my school that I loved so much, which was right over next to Craigmont. And if you've never been to Craigmont, it's real. So it's fantastic, fantastic. But kids are kids, especially elementary. You can't tell elementary kids, you line 10 up. I can't tell where they grew up or anything. So, you know, you bring them in, you treat them the way you want to be treated. All right, I'm trying to wrap this up fast, but I'm gonna lose my train of thought. So I went to Roselle, which is a performing arts school. So I got the performing arts elementary school, the CAPA, Creative and Performing Arts School, for 1 year, the year that we were together. And I taught those kids. We had choir and we performed a bunch. My favorite thing is we did a road trip before Christmas. We did Wolf Chase Mall and Oak Court Mall, and the Pink Palace had something for it was like the policemen gave out toys to needy kids or whatever. We performed at that. I'm like, this is so cool. I just love it. I love it. I love it. But there's no way I was staying in that Memphis City mess because nobody has your back. And if you're ever going to be a principal, you want people that have your back. They got your back in Gardville. All right. I'm going to move on quickly so that I can say this is what I do now. I teach using differentiated instruction. One corner of my room is ears, one corner is voice, one corner is body, one corner is choice. Anything I teach, I can go. We have a Black History program coming up next month. I had never heard the music before in my entire life. My partner teacher emails me the PowerPoint. She said, I put it all on the PowerPoint. I get the PowerPoint. This is yesterday. I know it's Friday because we had school Friday. So Friday, I went and I cold taught the first four songs using ears, voice, body, choice. So anything you can teach, and the things you really love to teach, and we'll get a film of that one sometime. I always start with my musical standard, find a way to assess that standard, and find materials to help me reach that standard. I make every student feel loved. Every single kid. You need to decorate your room. You need to be proud. You need to find ways to help others at your school. That's what makes you a unicorn. And always continue to learn from others. And positive reinforcement, I believe in so much. And you want to model positive behavior any way you can. You see kids that aren't paying attention, focus on the kid right next to them who is, you know, and focus in on that kid. I've got a bragging dragon reward ticket for you. All right, thanks for listening. We'll do other questions in a minute. I'll say thank you so much for your time and attention. Best of luck in the future. There's my email address. My cell phone, if you want it, is 901-355-3912. And Dr. Ammerman has that. So if you need that, you feel free to call me anytime. I'm just a dude. I'm just a dude who loves teaching kids. I love kids. I love music. And if I can ever help you in any way, I would be glad to. Yes, Dr. Ammerman.
So one of the big reasons
everybody's greeted, hug, high five, handshake. The choice is the kid's choice. And if they miss me, I'll turn around to the whole entire class. I've got one little dragon that missed Mr. Finley, and they're not going to get their extra credit. And they'll come. Usually they'll come running up. They're like, oh, I was putting my lunchbox over here. So there you go. So don't forget about me. I won't forget about you. And that's what's cool about elementary for me is you just, yeah.
Well, and can you tell us just for a second about the bragging dragons?
The whole, I got a mailbox. So the first thing I'll do is, you know, I'll do Welcome to Mr. Finley's class. We are ready, responsible, respectful, and you are awesome little dragons. Then I'll flip the page. It'll say, today's lesson is high and low. And then I'll say, you have 2 minutes to tell me something wonderful. And they'll go take an index card from a book box under their chair and write me a note about something wonderful that happened to them. And I also want them to ask questions about the lesson, and I always try to make it more pertinent or, you know, whatever. They like to ding me on that, on my observations and stuff. And, you know, I make it relevant to the lesson. I'm like, but that kid needs to tell me they got a new puppy. Swear to goodness. They haven't told anyone else in the entire school, but they're going to tell me. So they use the Dragon Museum mailbox. And which was the other one, Dr. Lynn?
Oh, the Dragon.
Dragon Dragons we use school-wide, just like a little token. And then we do dragon. You catch a kid going above and beyond, you give him a bragging dragon. I keep them, I still think my badge is right here. I keep them in the back of my lanyard, my badge holder, so I can give those out. Along with the clinic passes, which we now have to write for every single child we send to the clinic. But it's fabulous. I mean, we can video me all day long as long as there's no kids in the shot.
Yeah, we will. Any other questions?
Yes, ma'am.
I know you laid out a lot of different things.
Yes, and I emailed that to Dr. Emmerman. She's free to share that with you as well.
But is there anything on there that you've learned after you've made this list that's a good thing that works in all different kind of standpoints of teaching music? Like not just elementary, but high school, middle school, and just kind of anything like that?
I don't know how to answer that one. I'd say that the breathing my releases is a drum corps thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the irony of that is the guy that taught me that is the guy that replaced me. So when I was at Overton, Robin quit at Christmas. She was pregnant with Tristan. She was having migraines so bad that we had to go get an MRI done. And you don't do that when you're 4 months pregnant or whatever, but we had to. So there was so much pressure from everything on her. So she quit at Christmas. So they brought in another guy and said, Mr. Finley, we're demoting you. You're now the assistant director. So the guy that came in is the one that taught me that. And so I'm willing to beg, borrow, steal from anybody I need to.
Not breaking any copyrighted violations.
But you just find things, and you might think of something, maybe something that I said tonight that you see, you look at this same list in 5 years, and you look at it a different way. I mean, you just don't close yourself off and say that you're done learning, because then you just need to take that 30-year retirement and roll to the house, go fishing, whatever it is. Go run the rest of your 56 marathons.
How did you find your love for elementary?
I think it came when I started having my own kids. So, you don't know if you're going to be good at changing diapers until you change diapers. You're not going to know that you hate washing bottles until you have to wash bottles. Okay. I'm really good at changing diapers.
I'm really bad at washing bottles. So after our first child, and my wife literally had us hand wash all the bottles, okay? And that's not just the bottles, it's every part of the bottle, okay? It's really bad. It's really, really bad. Okay. So then she finally let me use the dishwasher with child number two and child number three. So I'm like, got all these little baskets for all the little parts of the bottles and putting them in there. So it was like life changing. So I recommend that. There you go.
I got my first one. We're doing all that.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Well, good luck, Logan. All right, anything else, guys? I know I kept you a little bit, but I feel the love, so it's really cool. It's really cool.
Well, first things first, we would like to present Mr. Finley with this certificate for presenting to us.
Thank you, sir.
And now for the rest of the script. I hope you enjoy listening to Brian Finley this week as much as we did. Music at Love would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in, and we hope you'll take the moment to leave us a review on iTunes. We hope you'll return for our next episode titled Keeping Them in Those Seats for Good, in which we examine recruiting practices and tried and true methods for keeping students in music ensembles for the long haul.
Can I say duct tape? Okay.
Keep going. Keep going.
You can, but I'm not going to take responsibility for anything.
Exactly.
We hope that this week you will be able to speak with a little stardust on all of your students and cover the greatness within a few more humans and send those stars through the stratosphere. Happy musicking, friends.
All right.